Due parole. L'informazione politica di Gemini Network.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Due Parole, your bi-weekly dose of international and national political news, brought to you by the Gemini Network editorial staff. We're live every Friday and Monday at 3:30 p.m. across the Gemini Network, Radio Sherwood, Radio Sona, Radio Chiroma, Radio Grad, Lota Radio, Radio Matria and Piccolo Radio. I'm Merit from Radio Matria, and today we'll be diving into two critical stories impacting the world stage. First up, we head to Moscow, Russia, where a horrific attack has shaken a nation. We'll bring you the latest details on this developing story. Then we'll shift gears and travel to Italy's famed wine country. But behind the postcard-perfect scenery lies a dark secret. Al Jazeera exposes a troubling reality. Stay tuned for a closer look at the exploitation hidden within this picturesque region. Let's head overseas for our international news update. We're heading to Moscow, Russia, where a shocking tragedy has unfolded. March 22nd, Friday night. A night of music turned into a scene of horror as the Krokus City Hall in Moscow, a popular entertainment venue packed with concertgoers, was targeted in a deadly attack. The venue, with a capacity of over 6,200 people, was set to host a concert by Picnic, a beloved rock band from the Soviet era. As the audience eagerly awaited the performance, five gunmen clad in combat gear stormed the venue. Panic erupted as the attackers, armed with automatic weapons, opened fire on the unsuspecting crowd. Adding to the terror, the attackers detonated explosives, engulfing the Krokus City Hall in flames. Witnesses reported scenes of absolute chaos as flames roared and smoke filled the air. The aftermath of the attack paints a grim picture. Official reports confirm at least 155 people were killed in the attack. Another 187 were injured, with 60 in critical conditions, according to the health officials. This attack is considered one of the worst in Russia since the horrific 2004 school attack in Beslan, which claimed over 330 lives, half of them children. Following the horrific attack at the Moscow concert hall, ISIS-K, the Islamic State's Khorasan province branch, claimed responsibility through a statement posted on its news agency Amaq. The statement asserts that the fighters launched the attack, killing and wounding hundreds and causing great destruction to the place before they withdrew to the bases safely. ISIS-K has a history of attempting terrorist attacks across Europe, including Russia. Prior to the US withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021, ISIS-K faced significant pressure from Afghan special forces and American troops. While this pressure continues under Taliban rule, the group thus has reportedly grown in strength in recent years, boosting several thousand fighters operating in nearly all of Afghanistan's 34 provinces. Despite their claim and circumstantial evidence, authorities are still investigating to definitely confirm ISIS-K's involvement. Experts do believe ISIS-K may have targeted Russia due to a long history of tension. This includes Russia's role in the Afghan War during the 80s, crackdowns on Muslim communities, particularly in the North Caucasus region, and their support for the Syrian regime. Michael Kugerman of the Washington, D.C.-based Wilson Center states that ISIS-K sees Russia as being complicit in activities that regularly oppress Muslims. He added that the group also counts a number of Central Asian militants with their own grievances against Moscow among its members. This attack follows warnings from US and other countries about the potential ISIS-K plot in Moscow, warnings Russia reportedly dismissed. President Putin and the Kremlin consistently rejected this information, viewing it as an attempt to discredit Russia. President Putin vowed retribution against those responsible, stating that all the perpetrators and organizers behind this crime will inevitably face a just punishment. He emphasized that Russia would identify and punish everyone involved, regardless of their affiliation. However, soon after the attack, Russia claimed to be still investigating, while suggesting Ukraine might be involved. Ukrainian officials denied these accusations, fearing Russia will use this strategy as a pretext to escalate the ongoing war. Ukrainian presidential adviser Mykhailo Podolyak stated, "Ukraine has never resorted to the use of terrorist methods." In the wake of the tragedy, the international community responded with a wave of condemnation. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned the attack in the strongest possible terms. French President Emmanuel Macron offered solidarity with the victims, stating, "France expresses its solidarity with the victims, their loved ones and all the Russian people." China's leader Xi Jinping also offered condolences to Putin, according to the China state media. The investigation continues, with Russian authorities detaining 11 suspects, including 5 believed to be directly involved in a Moscow concert hall attack. The truth behind ISIS case claim of responsibility and the extent of any Ukrainian involvement remain unclear. Russia's response to the attack is a source of concern. Experts warn that violence against Russia's Muslim minority communities in the North Caucasus region and beyond is possible. Russia's response to the attack is a source of concern because experts warn that violence against Russia's Muslim minority communities in the North Caucasus region and beyond is a possibility. Additionally, there are concerns about the potential for further attacks across Europe. Joining us today for a national news item is a story that's been gaining international attention. Investigative outlet Al Jazeera brings us a troubling expose behind the beauty of Italy's famed wine country. We often associate these regions with rolling hills, sunshine and the promise of a delicious glass of wine. But beneath the picturesque facade lies a harsh reality for many of the workers who cultivate those grapes. Many of the workers who toil in these vineyards face exploitation under a system known as caporalato. Migrant workers, just like Sayo from Gambia, who shared his story with the news outlet, often undocumented, are forced to work grueling hours 7 days a week for a pittance, 3 to 4 euros per hour. They have no contracts, no legal protection, and endure harsh conditions in makeshift camps without basic amenities. Fear and intimidation are commonplace, with gang masters controlling their jobs and wages. This isn't an isolated incident. Caporalato has been a problem in Italian agriculture since the early 2000s, with labour outsourcing reforms. The booming international demand for Italian wine created pressure to cut costs, make vulnerable workers easy targets. Similar issues have been seen in the region where Chianti and Prosecco is made. The system thrives on a cycle of fear and a lack of transparency. Undocumented workers fear deportation if they report abuse. Subcontracting practices shield wineries from direct responsibility, and the powerful wine industry itself may be hesitant to address the issue. But there are glimmers of hope. Sayo's story serves as a reminder of the need for change. With legal assistance, he was able to improve his situation. Increased awareness through outreach programs and worker education can empower victims to speak out. For the true taste of Italian wine to be enjoyed ethically, the industry needs a drastic overhaul. Stricter enforcement of anti-caporalato laws, increased transparency in the supply chain, and holding companies accountable for who they hire are crucial steps. This was this episode of Due Parole. We'll be back on Friday with more news.
Due parole. L'informazione politica di Gemini Network.